You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
Welcome to Satellite Sisters. We're really happy to have you here today. I'm Leanne Dolan in Los Angeles. It's Super Tuesday.
That's super, Leanne.
It's a Super Tuesday show. Don't you think, Liz and Julie, we have a Super Tuesday show planned?
Well, totally, Leanne.
This is Liz. You know, we do, I'm the middle sister. We do our show every Tuesday. So for me, every Tuesday is super. Don't you think, Jules?
That's a good point.
I do. I look forward to getting together with you. I'm the oldest sister. This is Julie Dolan. I'm in Dallas, Texas. I've been an international traveler, been all over the place. But I also, this morning, I think people in Middle Tennessee and Nashville woke up to the terrible, terrible news about the tornadoes that ripped through that area.
So scary.
And I just, you know, as we start the show, I just want to, you know, send our best to those that are recovering from the tornado damage, that have loved ones that are in that area, that are worried about them. This sounded really scary. It was, you know, came at night. It was wrapped in rain, so people didn't even know it was going to be happening. So we're just reaching out and thinking the best for them.
Take good care of yourselves out there.
Yes. Thank you, Julie. Thank you. We do have a full show here today. First of all, we're going to talk about the coronavirus later on in the show because, you know, it seems sensible to do that.
Yes.
To get your plans ready, figure out what you're doing.
Julie, Leanne was just sneezing here in this confined space where we work together. And the moment I commented on it, she whipped out the hand sanitizer.
And now we'll get good luck with that, you two.
Now we'll get the letters that hand sanitizer doesn't do anything because it's a virus, not a bacteria.
So we are aware.
Just emotionally makes us feel better. So that's what we're doing. Liz, you were at a fascinating conference this weekend. You're going to tell us all about your creativity conference.
Creativity Summit, Leanne. I figured something out, something very important. I'll tell you when we get there.
Okay, good. I'm looking forward to hearing you tell me about creativity. I'm looking forward to this.
I'm not saying there's anything I can teach you.
I'm
just saying I got taught.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I like that. That makes more sense to me. All right. The New York Times did a comprehensive comparison of all those food delivery services. I can say, this is directly to my sons, I told you so. Just paying a fortune.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that part of the show.
Paying a fortune.
Any time that a mother can tell adult sons, I told you so, that's a golden moment.
It is. It's the best. It's
you mean it's not just free, all that Postmate stuff they order? It's not just like the deal of the century?
Hard to believe, Liz. It's not. Some of the markups will shock you.
Really?
So, yeah, shocking, shocking. We have a sports desk today about the women's marathon.
Oh, yeah. This just an amazing bunch of stories from the people that qualified to go to the Olympics and run the marathon, both the men's and the women's side. But particularly the woman who came in second, she's our official satellite sister.
Fantastic. And we have a bunch of book recommendations later on in the show. The Sweeney Sisters giveaway, and then we're going to tell you more about our DC event.
Yeah, May 17th. If you haven't circled it yet, do that now.
Now's the time. Now's the time.
Details coming. So, did you vote, Leanne? You voted,
right?
I did vote.
So, I live in California. I live in Pasadena, California, and we have a new voting system here in California, Julie. So, I just want you to know it's going to take a while to get the California results for a bunch of reasons.
Oh, of course. We love it when it's complicated and results are delayed. That's good news.
Okay,
happy to hear that.
I liked the new system.
Stop with that. This is why I'm telling you. So, that attitude doesn't pervade nationally, because God forbid in California we actually want people to vote. So what they have done is actually open up voting so more people can have access to voting.
Yes.
And there are a lot of people.
Everybody's in favor of that.
Well, it didn't sound like you were in favor of it 2 seconds
I was just
ago.
Not in favor of delayed results.
So because they're counting the results. So we have mail-in ballots, we have provisional ballots, we have same-day registration. That's new now. So if you haven't registered, you can come and register. things take longer. And then we have millions and millions and millions of people here.
People, so voters, registered voters.
Registered voters. So we enjoyed some 11-day voting stations, mm-hmm. which is new. We've always had to jam it in on Tuesday or just mail it in, which is unsatisfying.
No, because early voting is really relaxed.
It's really relaxing.
It's good.
Yes. Yeah. And now they've opened them up all over the place, and you can go to any one. It doesn't have to be, you know, it's your next door neighbor's house. So where I used to vote. So if you remember.
Yes, in the garage.
In the garage.
That
Ray
transformed into a voting center. Yes.
R.I.P. Ray. So we miss him. I mean, I kind of miss going to Ray's house. But so my husband and I had a real voting date. Sunday, we planned it out right by the Rose Bowl. We have done all our due diligence. We've done our reading. We got out our recommendations and our newspapers. And we went out to lunch. We brought our sample ballots. We talked about it because we have a lot to vote on, not just the presidential, the Democratic presidential.
Yes, we had
candidates.
A lot of judges to vote.
A lot of judges. We have a mayor in Pasadena, our city council. We have some measures. It's a full slate mm-hmm. here in California. And I have to say, I loved the whole early voting thing. Mm-hmm. I loved having a date. I don't know if we voted for the same person. We sort of kept our presidential votes, private. But
I think everyone can go into the voting booth and do whatever they need to do.
That's it. And we have a new voting system, which is excellent here. It's sort of half electronic, half paper.
Yes.
Is how I would describe
it. Tablet. But it spits out a paper that then you can review and you feed back into the machine.
Right. So it was, you could actually check to make sure, did I really vote for the person I wanted to vote for before you submitted your vote? So if I thought it was just relaxing and enjoyable. So as the results roll in, remember, many people vote here. We give access to a lot of people.
Pacific time zone and millions of people.
Okay. So just take a deep breath, Texas, and just move, and just let us do our thing.
I mean, many of the innovations you're talking about, we've had in place here in Texas. But I'm glad that you're sharing some of our innovations.
Yes. Yeah. Access to voting is a good thing. So, yes.
Though I do think, Julie, I was telling Leanne, I think there might have been a Russian agent in line behind me. Because we're standing in line. I was at the Santa Monica Public Library. And this woman behind me starts telling everyone that you have to use your phone to take a picture of your ballot. Otherwise, there's no way for them to double check it, which I knew was a lie, right? That can't possibly be the new system that you have your ballot on your phone. So I was about to correct her myself, and then I decided that was not really my job. So I called an election monitor over and I said, could you please explain to us again what the new process is? Because I wanted to say, because this woman behind me is feeding all of this misinformation to everyone in line. Anyway, we got it all sorted out. I felt like that was the most important thing I could do as a citizen. And I think I might volunteer to be an election monitor come November. I think it's important that we participate and help.
Good.
Great. Good.
Okay, so moving on. So this weekend I went to the Box Sessions, which is a creativity conference that was created by longtime Satellite sister Laura Holson. We had her on the show in November to talk about it. She's a journalist at the New York Times, but she also just is fascinated at the process of creativity and has run her own personal creativity salon. Anyway, here's my number one takeaway. What was so great about the Box Sessions is that it wasn't just people on stage talking about creativity or talking about their creative process. It was very interactive in a way that got you to do things instead of just hear about how to do things. So she had us drawing, she had us singing, she had us storytelling, and it was really super. So first up, like solid gold Satellite sister, oh my God, the most entertaining person ever is Linda Barry, you know, the comic artist.
Yes.
And just last year she won a MacArthur Genius Grant. And I don't know what I expected. I just expected her to be like this nerdy little drawing person. No, she is a professor of interdisciplinary creativity in Wisconsin. So she's super good, Julie, on like how to start, like what's the process, and she really believes that everyone was born drawing and we just stopped drawing when we got to be about 8 because then we realized we didn't know how to realistically render like a nose. And so once we realized we couldn't do it well, we just stopped doing it.
That's about right. I mean, I haven't seen you do a draw in several years, Liz, I would say. That's safe to say.
Yes. Yeah. But so, and she held up her hands and she wiggled her fingers and she said, these are the original digital devices.
This is it. I love that.
Which is so true. And then, and she was also wearing, she's just such a pleasure. She was wearing like a big Chewbacca t-shirt. And which I was curious about when she came out. But then she said, you know, I find that when I'm wearing Chewbacca, everyone reacts more positively to me. She said one time I was.
Maybe some of our presidential candidates should.
Yeah, I know. It's true. Yeah. Campaigning tip, wear a Chewbacca shirt. She said one time I was walking through an airport and I didn't realize what I was wearing, but I noticed everyone was sort of waving to me or being nice to me. She said, and I'm walking through the airport thinking, I've still got it. Like, whatever the magic is. So then I realized the reason, like, little kids were, you know, coming up is because I was wearing my Chewbacca shirt. Anyway.
That's so, very funny.
So she did a workshop, which I did not attend, but I was so jealous of the people I did, where she has you do a series of drawing exercises with your eyes closed. Like, boom, timed drawing. She'll say, okay, close your eyes. You have 1 minute. Draw yourself as a superhero. And then she did it again. 1 minute, draw yourself as an animal. 1 minute, draw yourself. But the whole time, you just have to kind of be letting your hands go free. Not sure, there's no thinking involved. Mm-hmm. She said, that's what you have to stop doing. You have to stop thinking. And the people that were there said it was amazing and it was fun. But what was really a revelation to them is then when they opened their eyes and looked at all five of their drawings at the end, that they actually had a personal style. She made everyone kind of look at it and say, look, see, you have a particular way of expressing yourself in drawing, because these drawings all have, you know, they're kind of, there's a theme that runs through all of these. So I thought
that's so interesting. But was there judgment, Liz? Because I imagine some people are just naturally better at drawing or their personal style. So you weren't intimidated trying to be creative in ways that you haven't been creative in?
She
in
said because
years?
Because comics drawing, you know, which is sort of where she really made her name.
Right.
You can just render things however you want. This is not some, you know, 19th century salon where there are rules about like what a human face looks like. So you can just suggest things in whatever way your fingers and your imagination suggest them. So everyone that was in that class, Julie, all I can tell you is they came out that it was sort of life-changing for them. And there's something about the spontaneity of it that they said was great. And she teaches classes at the University of Wisconsin to PhD students, she said, who are all dreadfully unhappy. Like, their lives are miserable. So she realized the best way to make class more fun is she also has four-year-olds in the class. And that when you pair up miserable PhD students and four-year-olds, just an amazing creativity comes forth. So that was really great. Then the next thing we all did, believe it or not, was sing together. And I was super skeptical about this, but Laura invited a woman named Lisa Forkish, who is on the faculty at the Oakland School of the Arts. And she's also the founder and the director of a national champion a cappella group called Vocal Rush. But even before she was a pro in college, she was in the a cappella group Divisi that was the inspiration for Pitch Perfect.
Oh, my gosh.
Which I have never seen.
That's impressive. Okay.
So
you've never seen that?
No.
You've never seen Pitch Perfect?
No.
Liz. Okay, Liz,
come
stop.
On.
You have to stop what
come
you're
on.
Doing right now. Go home and watch that. And then watch Cheer, which the both of you haven't watched either.
I've watched Cheer now.
Okay.
We can talk about it later.
So anyway, so she put us in a big circle, and then she just has you start making a noise, which, okay, you can just make it. I'm not going to do it because then I'm going to end up singing alone here, which I'm not going to do.
No.
And the next thing you know, you're making a note. And the next thing you know, you're singing several notes. And the next thing you know, the whole group is singing. And it was really, really fun. And then Vocal Rush, the group that she coaches, they came out. And man, they can really sing. So that was it. So we did. There was drawing, then there was singing, and then there was storytelling.
Can I ask a question? How come you don't sing?
What do you mean?
Like, why don't you ever sing? Do you just not have the opportunity to sing? Or
Do you sing?
I sing in church. Yeah, I sing Christmas carols. Yeah, I sing.
I just never think
sing
to
sing around the house.
Sing
you never like sing at home? Yeah, with
hoop. I will occasionally, like if a piece of music comes on that I really love, I will sing along with it. But Not okay. Generally, no. Apparently, I'm just
very
not...
revealing, Liz.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's yeah. Concerts, you sing
yeah.
along. No.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, though I was as I drove to my polling place yesterday for some reason on my phone, like the cast album to Hamilton came on as
there
I was
you go.
So I sang along to Hamilton as I went to go
okay.
vote. That seemed like fate to me.
All right.
And then, so then the last like hands-on thing that everyone did was the Moth came in.
Oh.
And they taught you sort of their basic structure for how they train people to tell 5-minute stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, wow, we've been doing the show now for like 20 years. This would have been good 20
yeah.
years ago to learn. You want to know, here are the secrets. Pick a
okay.
theme. You have to
yeah.
know what your story is about.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God, I wish I thought of that. Then develop an arc for the story. Like, what changes over the course of the story? I mean, Leon, you're a novelist, so you're looking at me like, what are you, an idiot?
Yeah.
Of course. Well, whatever. Set up the stakes. Again, I'm sure you do that. And then for storytelling, she said, know your first line and know your last line.
Yeah, that's good.
The rest
advice.
Of it needs to feel spontaneous. So anyway, we all got broken up into groups. Everybody did stories. And then some people, their names went in a hat. And they performed that night. They did an actual story slam that night
wow.
for the whole group. So I just want to say Stephanie, Satellite Sister Stephanie, who is part of the Satellite Sisters Facebook group, longtime listener, she attended. She was in my storytelling group, and she got picked and did her story from the stage that night.
Wow.
So you were awesome, Stephanie. It was a pleasure to meet you, and you did a great job. So it was the doing. It was super fun.
Oh,
super
good.
Fun.
Liz, that sounds fantastic.
And you've come home, and you feel, like, renewed and more creative, and yes?
Yes.
No?
Well, I feel like the key is to just try it. Just do it.
Right.
Don't be, you know, we just edit ourselves a lot. If we think we're not good at something, I mean, that's the fundamental thing. If you think you're not good at it, you just stop doing it. And what Linda Barry believes and what Laura Holson, who created the Box Session, believes is that it doesn't matter if you're any good at it. Just do it.
Right.
So that's what we did. And I think everyone came away energized from that.
Right. I mean, I would say that's the reason I do the dancing, but I don't post the videos because I don't actually want people's commentary on
no judgment.
How good I am. It's just really fun to do it and to be creative about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be, you know, that's the key. It's not expecting to be great at it.
No.
Why would you be great at it?
No, why would you?
If you were great at it, you'd be doing it every day, you know? You would have figured that out a long time ago. But that doesn't mean it can't be fun and spark other inspirational things in your life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
So anyway, so it was great. I'll post a few things about it. But it was also great to meet Stephanie. So that started me thinking about the big event we're doing on May 17th. You know, it's always so fun to meet each other. We love meeting you if you've been listening for a long time. And that May 17th event in Washington, D.C. is going to be like a chance for us to meet a lot of you. And we're just super excited about it. So in case you didn't hear last week's announcement or read about it at SatelliteSisters.com, All five sisters will be celebrating 20 years of sisterhood. That's how long we've been doing Satellite Sisters at 6th and I on Sunday afternoon, May 17th. So that's Washington, D.C. So the three of us who do the show will be there, as well as Monica and Sheila. We're going to have some remembrances, some recollections, an interactive audience quiz. You know, you'll be able to ask us questions. We'll laugh. We'll cry. We'll do it all. Full on Satellite Sisters experience live. At 6th and I, which is just an amazing facility. So it's a center for arts and entertainment and ideas. And I know a lot of you have already bought tickets. That was exciting.
That is really exciting. And because wasn't Washington, D.C. the number one destination, New York Times, this year for places to go in 2020?
Oh,
so
yeah.
You have no excuse. And what I love about Facebook is that in our Facebook group, there's a lot of helpful travel tips about coming to Washington, how do you get the best fares, whether you should fly into Baltimore or what, and, you know, ground transportation. I think if you're thinking about it or if you're on the edge, look in Facebook group. This is mm-hmm. It's Washington, D.C., people. You know, it's going to be great, right?
Yes, yes. And the tickets are $25,
right.
Or as I like to say, $5 per sister. So that is a steal. You're never going to get a better deal than that.
$5
$10 per sister. What are you waiting for? Come on.
Yeah, that, and we are spreading the link around all over the place. You can go to our website and find the link to the ticketed events at 6th and I on our Facebook group. It's in our Instagram profile. There are plenty of places to find the ticket link. And we just wanted to make sure that everybody who wanted to get in is getting in.
Yeah.
Because we had a knuckle biter, what is that, a nail biter a couple years ago.
Don't bite your knuckles.
Yeah, that's really going to hurt.
Yeah. So a nail biter in Santa Monica a couple years ago, and we weren't sure we were going to be able to get everyone in. And so we just want to make sure we know who's coming. Everyone who's ticketed is guaranteed a seat. And so that's the point of that.
Maybe
so,
we'll do some singing, some dancing, some. Maybe Leanne will perform for us.
We'll see. We'll have to. I already talked
not,
to.
Let's not make any promises.
Let's not make any promises. I did talk to my dance teacher about it, though. Because remember, I do like a. I don't really perform alone.
Yeah.
So that's. True. Like, that's my problem. So, and so unless, like, Liz, unless you wanted to learn the disco number.
No, I do not.
I mean, so that's a possibility.
No.
You, Sheila, and I could learn the disco number. But but we will be having a lot of fun there in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
There will be special
and
merch.
We'd love to see you. That's it. We want you to come.
We would absolutely love to see you.
So the link is in the show notes. So if you swipe the cover art on whatever podcast app you're listening to right now, it's going to be right there. But it's also at Satellite Sisters. Or you can go to the 6th and I website. Many ways to buy tickets, and we suggest you do it now.
Great. We will see you there.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting... reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you, it's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS.
Okay, sisters, we're back. And this is kind of an international news roundup because without a doubt, the number one story around the world has to be coronavirus, right? I mean, that is what in some ways is what's bringing us together. Now, we all know we have to wash our hands, and I've been washing my hands a lot. I know you and Liz have been doing the same. And I you know, work with a lot of early learning centers, and when they teach children to wash their hands, they always teach them the ABC songs so that the children wash their hands for the whole alphabet. So you learn the alphabet, and you have clean hands, which I think is pretty good. You can do the happy birthday. I found this morning that the Monkees theme song was what I was using to wash my hands to. How about you?
What is the Monkees theme song?
Hey, we're the Monkees. You know, come on.
I don't know how we're singing on Satellite Sisters. It's an inspiration.
Yeah.
Hey, we're the Monkees. That one?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Liz, that's the one. Good work. Good work on the singing. Are you singing, Liz, when you're washing your hands?
Well, I thought it was happy birthday I was supposed to be singing. And now I heard you're supposed to be singing happy birthday twice. So that's what I've been doing.
All right.
But not out loud.
I saw a thread on Twitter the other day. It was brilliant. They did 20-second clips of all these different songs you could use. Oh. So Raspberry Beret. I'm doing the chorus to Raspberry.
Raspberry Beret.
Oh, my gosh, Liz.
Stop singing. Okay, enough. So I think that's good. Use whatever song you need, you know, so that you're, you know, washing your hands. The part that I find impossible is the not touching your face, which is also key to not spreading this highly contagious virus. And most people, I think, on average, touch their face 90 times a day. How are you doing on touching faces?
Wow.
I'm supposed to stop touching my face? Wow. I'd have to, like, tie my hands behind my back.
You're right. Not supposed. Yeah, I know. Yeah. You're not supposed to touch your face. That's really almost as key as washing your hands. Wow. So,
yeah, I've been trying really hard. I feel like I'm pretty good about not touching my face. I'm very conscious of it. Mm. So, and I've been very healthy this winter, which has been good post-op for me. I've been surprised. Yes. I have not gotten sick at all because I've really been executing hand washing, face touching protocols that I put in place in October. So I feel like I'm in good shape. But
the face touching is kind of a new thing to me, Julie. So okay.
I mean, all right, you're gonna have to you're gonna have to develop a strategy or a song to carry you through, Liz, so you're not touching your face. You know, I think there's this. I have been struck, you know, just about, you know, we talked about this early on, not to panic, just to listen to the CDC, listen to, you know, the experts. Don't get ramped up with all the news, but it's very hard not get to getting ramped up because this is a highly contagious virus. It's popping up all over the world. I did see some, what I thought was sort of encouraging context to put it in. Ian Bremmer, we've talked about him on the show before. He writes, you know, he's an expert, a globalist, and he writes a column on Global Watch. And he says, things to remember about this virus that never before has so much science been available to identify and respond to this virus. So that's important. Now, you know, never before has there been so many medical groups around the world looking to figure out, you know, how to solve this problem and how to share information globally. That seems like that's working pretty well. And never before have so many people been determined to create and distribute a vaccine for this virus. So, you know, I found those sort of a calming perspective on a situation that is easy to panic on. Now, he did go on to say that, you know, there is absolutely no political cooperation either here in this country or internationally, and there's no orientation towards cooperation. So maybe that's not so good. But there are a lot of people, you know, that are really smart, that are, you know, deploying all kinds of resources to battle this virus. And I think that's important.
Okay. It is important, Julie. Just seems like a big, big story. Seems like it's going to get a little bit worse before it gets better. But I'll try to remember that. More information than ever.
Okay. So no more kissing, no more handshaking. I saw Angela Merkel has given up handshaking. So if she's not shaking people's hands, don't feel like you have to do that either. Okay.
You know what? I don't. Yeah. I'm all for that. I feel like that's all just awkward anyway. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Just, you know, and then we do a lot of hugging and kissing here in California. We got to stop that.
Yeah.
Right? It's just, who do I hug? Who do I kiss?
Just temporarily. That's
what are you
going
to do? Just wave to them?
I like the awkward wave.
Wave to them, yes.
The
give
awkward
them a nice
wave.
Nod. Sing them a tune, Liz. Yeah, I think you can do it.
Not the namaste. I know people have adopted the namaste.
You can do that. I mean, that when I lived in Thailand, the Thai way is a way, is a form of greeting. If you feel like that's going to work, just would do whatever. But waving is good. Okay.
You know, I have a friend who's Chinese, and she said her relatives in China said they have taken up touching feet instead of handshaking, just sort of touching feet, which I feel would make me fall over. Like if I had to, like, I don't know, pot a beret towards people and touch their feet, that's no good. But
no, that waving is better.
That looked a little tricky.
It looks tricky to execute. It looks tricky to execute. Yeah.
So just wave and do that. Wash your hands. Work on it. Work on a song to, you know, that you can wash your hands to and stop touching your face. Are you touching your face right now, Liz? I can't see you.
No, I am 100% not. But I probably have done it 10 times while you've been telling this story about not touching your face. It just is.
I know.
It's just a thing you're unconscious of. All right. Okay. Let's move on. So I noticed that in the paper yesterday that the famous Joe of Trader Joe's had died.
He did.
And so his name is Joe Coulomb. And, you know, Trader Joe's is a, like, national phenomenon now, the grocery store. But, Leon, I did not know that the first Trader Joe's opened in 1967 in Pasadena.
I can't believe you didn't know that.
No, how would I know that?
Well, I never knew that either.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh.
I knew it was in California. I didn't realize it was Pasadena.
Right, yeah.
So is there a lot of Trader Joe's
pride? Why haven't
you
ever taken us to the original Trader Joe's, Leon?
You know why? For the same reason you can barely go to any Trader Joe's.
Bad
parking lot.
Yeah.
Is a nightmare. And it's the original nightmare parking lot. And it's a tiny Trader Joe's on Arroyo Parkway.
Uh-huh.
But it's the, it's the first place I went when I was a freshman in college. I was tapped to host a tea for the English department, which I don't even know how. I wasn't even an English major, but I was apparently some sophomores felt like I actually knew how to make a cucumber sandwich and appreciate a watercress. So my friend Allison, who was a sophomore, she said, we need to go to this place in Pasadena. Have you ever been to Trader Joe's? And at the time, there wasn't even a freeway between Claremont and Pasadena. So it took us 45 minutes, and I went to my first Trader Joe's there on Arroyo Parkway as a college freshman in 1983. Makes me sound super old now. But so, yeah, a lot of local pride for Joe. He really was a local resident. I mean, he sold Trader Joe's a while ago.
Yeah, right.
So,
right.
But he did believe in giving high-quality food to people like teachers and people who work for the government. He said, you know, great food shouldn't just be for fancy people.
Right. He said he wanted to serve everyone from underpaid musicians to out-of-work PhDs, and that they could find elements of the lifestyle they aspire to for not too much money.
Right.
So if they, like, knew that there was something beyond Velveeta, Trader Joe's was there for them.
Right. And it really was. I mean, it was a game changer for a lot of people, opened up a lot of eyes for people and had wonderful products.
But it's also, I got to say, being new to Trader Joe's, because I'm, you know, relatively recent Californian, I find the whole thing like a little bit intimidating. Like it's a club.
It is.
Like you either get Trader Joe's or you don't.
Right.
You know, it's all, there are the Hawaiian shirts and the fishnets and the pennants and the sort of nautical trappings. And they call each other like captain and first mate. And I just never really understand what's going on there. I feel like I'm not clued in. Like, okay, I'm going to ask you this because I've never been brave enough to ask anyone. When they ring the bell, Leon, why?
Three bells, Liz.
What is the bell?
It's a carryout, Liz.
That's all it
Come
is?
Come on, it's a carryout. Three bells, Liz. That's what they yell.
Did you know that, Julie?
I think they also do it for cash sometimes when they need additional cash in their registers.
So, you know, I remember once putting on this Satellite Sisters Facebook page, like, what happened to people bagging their own? Because that was very much part of the Trader Joe's aesthetic.
Yeah. Yes.
Like it's much more of a real grocery store than it used to be. It really used to look like a food co-op, and it was just incredibly like poorly organized checkout.
Yeah.
And you were just
carrying things. That was sort of their specialty.
That was it. Like everybody just, it was like a corral, and then you bagged your own stuff, and people were like, well, you don't have to bag. But that was part of this Trader Joe's ethos. So, but you know, they're famous. I mean, really, you could tell they're local because they have a float in the Rose Parade every year. And it's always just a delightful float. They always look like they have the most fun putting their float together. They put the employees on the float. Like, that's how you know he's really a local guy.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Well,
a lot of really nice remembrances on people's Facebook pages. I noticed my friends from Pasadena who knew the family and, you know, longtime supporters of the family. And he was a longtime supporter of a lot of local charities.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of love.
I knew you would have the details because you think of supermarkets as sort of part of your lifestyle anyway.
Yes, it is.
You feel very close to your supermarket.
Yeah. No,
okay.
I do. Which, Liz, that leads us beautifully into our next story, which is
our next food-related story.
So, you know, for the last couple of years, I've had several conversations with my sons about how expensive it is to order food from all those food ordering apps.
Mm-hmm.
I have never been a big believer in that for many reasons. Like, takeout food just is not part of my ethos, mainly because it's expensive. Like, I always go to takeout food, and I take it out, and then I beat myself up on the way home. I'm like, I could have cooked the chicken for less money.
Yes.
It's really expensive. And when we were first married, and many years into our marriage, we did not have a lot of money. So when you went to Boston Market, like, it seemed convenient, but you're waiting in line for 20 minutes, and then you're pointing at food, and then you pay for it, and it's like a fortune, and you get home, and it's just chicken and applesauce.
Yeah.
What the
Julie,
heck?
No pointing at food. There's just
no pointing.
Liam does not approve pointing at food.
I think you need to keep your hands down. Just keep your hands down. Keep those digits on the table. There. Yeah.
Okay. So now that my sons are, you know, college age and beyond, apparently part of their generation, they're Zers, and they're the youngest millennials and the oldest Generation Z. And they don't apparently want to leave their couch for anything.
Yeah,
there's no reason they feel to ever leave their home.
Yeah.
Like, everything should come to their home.
Yeah.
But I was trying to impress upon them that that is expensive. It does cost you. And they will, like, wave off the delivery fee. Well, Mom, it's just a this, it's just a that. And I'm like, you know, it's not going to kill you to get up off your couch. It might actually be good for you, but...
See, they believe in pointing at food.
They're totally fine pointing at food. Pointing, tapping, swiping.
And it's so funny because they grew up with just completely delicious home-cooked food.
Yes,
that you make
thank
for
you,
them
Julie.
Every single night,
every
multiple
night.
Meals
yes.
a day.
Yep.
You know, so, but
yep.
they just want to be on their couch and
yep.
press snap.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're taking this personally that they reject everything you stand for.
Yeah. So here's the deal. So the New York Times, in the personal tech section, they really did a comparison. Grubhub, DoorDash, Postmates, Uber Eats. Okay, Postmates and Uber Eats are a fortune. Okay, imagine 2 6-inch turkey subs
yeah.
from Subway.
Yeah.
Okay, not even very good sandwiches.
Yeah.
Okay, so at the store, it would cost you $13.21.
Yes.
If you got up off your couch and went to get them,
uh-huh.
the mediocre turkey sandwiches. Uber Eats would charge you $25.21, a
really?
91% markup. Postmates was a 63% markup.
Ooh.
You know, Grubhub, 25% markup. And the markups are sort of hidden. Yes, there's a delivery fee, but very often the restaurants are also charging you. You get the Grubhub delivery fee, but also it's a little bit of a markup. Oh, you're not in the store. Okay, we're going to charge more for the sandwich.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, so
wow.
it's like a double
and then do
dip.
Your sons tip whoever is the delivery person?
That, yes, they do tip, and that's not included in these
yeah.
prices.
Right.
All right. How about something like, you know, who wouldn't like a family meal from Panda Express, right? I mean,
yeah, sure.
Okay, that's every sure. once in a while we would go to Panda Express and get the $39 Panda Express family meal.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But just now, if you go in the store, they already are charging you more for takeout. It's $42. It can charge you up to $65 to
okay.
get the $39 Panda Express on Uber Eats, Postmates. That is just actual money. So yeah. here's what it leads me to. Are we running out of time?
What are you
going to
do? What are you going to do about
this?
We
cannot stop you. We know we cannot stop you no matter what time it is.
I know, because this is the thing. Every time you try to talk to someone in the 18 to 25 age group,
yeah.
this is what you hear back. You know, it's not just about the lattes. We have student debt. We're never going to be able to buy a house. They're not giving away homes like they were
wow.
when you and Dad bought it. Oh, they go to extremes.
Generational grievances.
A lot of generational grievances. We can't get full-time work. Blah, blah, blah. We're going to have to pay for our health insurance, and that's really expensive. And you're like, I'm just talking about maybe getting off your couch every once in a while.
Yeah.
And like, hey, buddy. I'm Gen Z. I mean, I'm a Gen Xer, okay?
Yeah.
Don't talk to me about the gig economy.
You got screwed.
We invented it. I've been gigging since 1993. Oh, my God. I had student debt, you
yeah,
know?
Right.
We had several recessions and a stock market crash.
Yes,
I
you
have
did,
friends
Leanne.
That
this must have been such a lovely family discussion.
This was like after my birthday lunch when my son just signed off by saying, go enjoy your big house all by yourself.
So this is the Gen
wow.
X generational grievances versus the Gen Z generational grievances. And blame it on Postmates, baby.
Okay, Leon, would the solution be if they want something fast food that you get in the car, go get it
no.
and bring it to them?
No,
would
of
that
course
make
not.
Them happy?
No, of no. course not, Julie. And you know, they are learning that cooking is much, much cheaper. Like
yes.
now that they are
okay,
paying
good.
For their own food. So
good.
It's just, right, occasional lattes are not going to kill you, but if
right.
you are routinely paying $25 for two, you know,
Subway
inferior turkey
yeah.
sandwiches.
You're never going to own
then,
a home.
That is just
are
stupid.
Are they putting these inferior turkey sandwiches on their cheese boards, Leanne? Is that,
yeah.
Are they boarding it?
No, okay. I mean, it's just is kind of a waste of money. And so I
yeah.
humbly suggest they learn to go to the store and cook a few things. Like,
yeah.
you know, these are base. Get some eggs. Cook some omelets. You know, scrambled eggs. That's totally fine.
Yeah.
Pasta's delicious.
Mm, delicious.
Everyone can figure out how to cook chicken or a turkey burger or a chicken burger or anything. Just occasionally go to the store and cook your own food. You might discover that you like it. And my younger son has actually discovered that he enjoys cooking. And he raves about the Bon Appetit cooking YouTube channel. He said he's learned a ton from cooking, from watching that. Again, Liz, as you pointed out, 20 years of me standing in the kitchen cooking. Didn't learn anything.
No impact.
YouTube, Bon Appetit YouTube, fine. So I'm just saying, like, those things are expensive and they add up. So try cooking. It's probably better for you. You might enjoy it. It can be a collective activity, you know, and probably healthier for you.
Yep.
And you're going to save a lot of money. Yep. So that's my just my humble plea.
Okay. That was not humble.
At all. There seemed to be just a touch of rage in there too, Leanne, but that's okay. That's
okay. It was verging on harangue.
We support it.
Thank you.
We totally support your position.
Yes, you're right, of course.
Thank you.
We're not disputing that you are correct.
Yes, I'm just saying.
In the war of generational grievances. Really, because Gen X never wins any war of generational grievances.
We're not even in the conversation
Don't
at me, bro.
Julie and I are both boomers. They're like, boomers are just crushing you people.
You live in large over there. Don't at me, bro, with your college debt stories. It is worse now. I'm going to tell you that. It's worse now. But
Okay.
But learning to cook can save you money. End of story.
Okay.
Do we have any other stories? Should we move on?
No, that's need to move on.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to. What? We had another
Are
thing.
Are we doing a show? What is
it? We're going to ads now, Leon.
Okay.
We're moving on.
All right.
You've said your piece, right? You're done? You said everything you wanted to say about that? About roasting your own chicken? Okay, good.
I'm done.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience.
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing. To get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds
like... But you are going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
Well, fearless seems to be the word of the day. Like, be creative. Fearless Flyer, isn't that the name of the Trader Joe's newsletter?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It is.
Yeah, let's all be fearless. Okay, so speaking of which, I'm going to do a quick sports report because we're in the time now where Olympic teams are starting to get chosen for various things. And this past weekend was the Olympic marathon trial for the United States. So the race was in Atlanta, men and women racing, top three on each side, qualify for the Olympic team. And you can look it up yourself, who won and what the whole deal was. But I just want to shout out to the two second place finishers. The second place male finisher, his name is Abdi Abdirahman. He was originally born in Somalia, but he went to high school and college here in the U.S., became a U.S. citizen in 2000. But I love about Abdi's story, he will be the oldest U.S. Olympic runner in history. He is 43 years old. That's amazing.
43?
Wow.
43, that's... Julie. Qualified for the Olympic marathon. Okay, so congrats to Abdi. Now, at the other end of the spectrum, the second place female finisher, my goodness, Molly Seidel. Okay, here's the deal.
I love this story, Liz.
It's so good, right? So she's 25 years old. She was a really good college runner, but had been sort of up and down since then, had been injured a lot. She's working two jobs. She works in a coffee shop and she's a babysitter. She shares an apartment with her sister. So, okay, that she automatically gets on our radar for that. And as a matter of fact, during the race, she gave her sister a high five at mile 7. Like, when have you ever seen an elite runner like make a point of high-fiving their family on the course? That does not usually happen. She also, you can see all over the internet, every year she goes to the turkey trot in the town in her native Wisconsin, and she wears a turkey costume.
Oh, that's funny.
So this is a runner who's still wearing a turkey costume, and she's quoted as saying, there's nothing better than beating the boys while dressed as a turkey. So, okay, Molly, we're all for that. But here's the thing that amazed me the most. So she came in second. She qualified for the trials by running a very fast half marathon time. So, Julie, Molly Seidel had never actually raced a marathon before. She had never done a marathon.
I just can't even believe that. And now, and she came in second.
Yes.
Do you think it's a fluke? Like she won't be able to do that at the Olympics?
Or
do you
think
this is really her moment and her time and she's just going to go even faster?
I think that's why the competitions are so thrilling. You never know what's going to happen. It could just be that she was so relaxed.
Right.
That she's like, okay, I'm just going. And she said at mile 21, she thought, okay, I'm going to crash and burn or I'm going to make it. But she just went for it. So can she pull that off again in Tokyo? I don't know. We'll find out. But congrats both to Abdi and to Molly for like being just great. Again, this is what's so great about the Olympics. So many great stories about the Olympic athletes. So congrats. There you go.
I love that Laura in our Facebook group, when you posted the story, she wrote, she's my neighbor's babysitter.
Amazing.
I mean, it's fantastic. Thank you, Laura.
Great.
That's
great.
Fantastic.
See, I mean, these are real people.
I know.
It's just so great. They're actual real people.
And that, you know, there were 450 women in that marathon, and that qualifying time is, what, 245 or 247? So that's a lot of fast women.
Yes.
I mean, that's a fast time to qualify, and that we have 450 women that can qualify really
says
a lot. So that's fantastic. So they're going to be more
Mollies.
My fastest
marathon time, 4:59.
That's good, Liz. You did a marathon.
Just wanted to get in under 5 hours. Yeah,
okay. Mm-hmm. I crashed
and burned there the last mile in Central Park.
Okay, but you got a medal. We're proud of you.
As my husband likes to remind me, well, I could have qualified because he did a 2:37.
I know, but
he was a...
But he didn't.
He didn't.
Yeah.
Well, he could have qualified for the women's marathon.
Yeah.
I know.
But I hate that.
I know.
Okay. All right. I think we need.
Now
we're crashing and burning on this uplifting.
Okay. What else do we have to discuss?
Okay. Can we move on to entertaining sisters and some of our book recommendations?
Yes.
I have one, and I'm classifying this as the late to the party book recommendation. You know how that is? Like a book is very popular a couple of years ago, and for whatever reason, you never got around to reading it.
Right.
And so now other books have come out, and you don't think you should go back. I don't know. But this is my late to the party book recommendation. This was a New York Times number one bestseller. It was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize, When Breath Becomes Air by Paul Kalanithi. I don't know if you've heard this story, but this is a profoundly moving memoir about Dr. Paul Kalanithi, who was 36 years old. He was on the verge of completing his training as a neurosurgeon, but he had already received like a master's in English literature and then decided to go into, you know, to become a doctor, a neurosurgeon. And then he was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. So one day he was a doctor, the next day he became a patient. And this is just, this is his story. It's absolutely beautifully written. And it's about life. It's about death. It's about suffering and loss. But ultimately, it is such a life-affirming book to read. And I think as particularly in the context of all the things we've been talking about today, to think about caregivers, to think about patients, to think about illness, this is just, if you haven't read it like I hadn't read it, please put that on your list, When Breath Becomes Air by Paul Kalanithi.
Okay. All right.
All right, Julie.
Thanks, Joel.
Yeah, that's true. You know, we have a tendency to sort of not go back to older books, to want to recommend the next big thing. And there's certainly a dozen on my to-be-read list. And so I've always heard good things about that, but I have not read it. And I think his widow has also gone on to write a book now and everything.
Right. And she contributes to the end of this book because he was not able to finish writing the book. But so she's a doctor as well.
All right. Thank you very much for that. We'll always put the name of the books in the show.
They're in the show notes.
And usually we also post in the Facebook group. Mm-hmm. I have two new books to recommend. The first is Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reed. I read it over the weekend. Julie, you said to me, Leanne, you should relax this weekend. Just relax and read a book. So I did. I read Such a...
See, good, Leanne.
Sometimes I listen to you.
Thanks.
So I read Such a Fun Age. Of course, Reese Witherspoon read it first, and she recommended it, so it's an instant New York Times bestseller.
Oh.
I don't feel like Kylie needs my help in the sales department, but you know what? It was a really enjoyable book, and it's an interesting look at race and privilege and class, and some of the storylines are not what you expect, and the conclusions are sort of delightful and fresh and new. Kylie is an excellent writer, and she has a fantastic ear for dialogue, so I like that. But at the centerpiece of this is an African-American babysitter with a white mom. Mm-hmm. And what I enjoyed was the mother-babysitter relationship, because as someone who had help in my home for about 10, 15 years, like that is an interesting, super personal, vaguely professional, vaguely family relationship, one that I always tried to walk the line being the employer, not the friend. Uh-huh. And I think she really nailed that relationship. It's complicated, you know, no matter what the dynamics are. So I liked that. I know a lot of the talk has been about covering the race issues in the book, which I think she does very deftly. But that centerpiece relationship between the babysitter and the mom, I thought she also handled well. So Such a Fun Age is the name of the book. So, Reese, you were right. Yeah, fantastic.
Good choice.
All right, another book just comes out today called You Are Not Alone. It's a thriller by the pair Greer Hendricks and Sarah Pekkanen. They've written a couple of other best-selling thrillers. It's a page-turner, you know, just something really fun to read, a compulsive narrative. You're just going to want to know what's happening, where are the twists going to be. I'm excited to say that Greer and Sarah will be on the show in a couple of weeks. We'll be talking to them about You Are Not Alone.
But I can't wait.
But today is the publication date for the book. So, Liz, you're always looking for good audiobook recommendations.
Yes, uh-huh.
I think this would be an excellent audiobook in particular.
I think thrillers are great as audiobooks, especially if you're on a long drive or something.
Right.
You can just get totally absorbed and they move quickly.
Right. And this one's about a group of, you know, friends, frenemies in New York City. You don't really know what their motivation is. Mm. The centerpiece of it are some sisters that, are they the good guys or the bad guys?
Oh,
the main character, is she going to suddenly go south on us? And the inciting incident is one of those horrific New York City things that you think, I hope I never see that. So that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
So the book
good tease, Leah.
Thank you.
What's the title of this book?
You Are Not Alone.
Okay.
Which would be like, it's very Satellite Sistery if we were all awful. That's not true. Not all the characters are awful, but you don't know who the awful ones are. So that it keeps you guessing till the very end. So I'm excited to talk to Greer and Sarah in a couple weeks. But if you want to get reading, I would highly recommend it. You Are Not Alone.
Okay. Well, speaking of books that are about to come out, the Sweeney Sisters, Tick, Tick, Tick.
Yes.
Your publication date is April 28th, right?
April 28th. So,
if
you're out there buying some of these other books, feel free to pre-order.
Go for it.
Pre-order is very helpful for me. I just learned, I learn something new every day about my business. You know, you try to be focused on the writing piece of it.
That's a good place to
focus.
But then
when the book comes to publication, you try to figure out some other stuff. And those pre-orders, they really, really help. If you want to pre-order at your local bookstore or at something like an Amazon, you can do both. Those are both super helpful. So the Sweeney Sisters comes out at the end of April, but we're giving some copies away early. The winner this week from Facebook is Ellen. Thanks, Ellen. A picture of you and your longtime Satellite Sisters on Facebook. They were at a Bruce Springsteen concert in New York City. So again, it's like it wasn't a random drawing, but it was a random drawing.
Totally random.
So Ellen, fantastic. Great picture. And on Instagram, Angela There you are with your friend in Sedona. Beautiful photo. Happy.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
I'll be DMing you to get your address, and the publisher will send those books out. So Ellen and Angela, thank you. You have one more week to submit your photos. Use the hashtag SatSisters and hashtag The Sweeney Sisters.
The Sweeney Sisters.
The Sweeney Sisters.
Some people are just putting Sweeney Sisters. So, you know,
oh, okay.
If Leon's going to find you, hashtag
right.
The Sweeney Sisters.
Yes, the hashtag is what I use to search for the photo for the random drawing. Just that's how it works.
Okay.
So that's how I work it anyway.
Okay.
That's Good. How I work it.
It's your thing.
It's my thing. Mm-hmm. All right. We would like to thank Sergio for all his support here at Satellite Sisters. Support. I mean, he edits the show, but he does more.
So far beyond support.
So, yeah, he's just there.
Without
man.
Sergio,
the best.
It's
yeah,
not
the
happening.
Best.
Yeah. So thank you, Sergio Enriquez. Thanks to everybody at Wondery that supports Satellite Sisters. We appreciate the whole team here.
Such a good group.
Very solid.
You know, I feel like we have very loyal sponsors, and we are so grateful that listeners support them.
Yes, that's how it works. And we appreciate that, you know, the sponsors support us and you support the sponsors. That allows us to stay on the air. All right, sisters, to-do time. Julie, what's on your to-do list this week?
Okay, I just want to say this started 10 days ago, okay? 10 days ago, I ordered face masks on Amazon, okay?
You are not supposed to do that.
I know, but that was before the Surgeon General came out and said, please don't do that. That was before, you know, all over Facebook, all these lovely nurses and doctors are saying, please don't do it. So I haven't received them, but when I receive them, I need to find a place to donate them back because I feel too guilty to use them. And I know they're not effective for people who don't have the virus.
Yes.
Right. I did not know that. I thought I was getting ahead of the curve by ordering them early. I know that. I stand corrected. If I actually receive these face masks, I would like to find some place to donate them.
You should donate them to that assisted living place where we had Dad.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those
healthcare workers and everything. Yeah.
Yes.
They are really on the front lines. So,
yep.
Okay, Julie, we forgive you. Did you bulk order toilet paper, though, too? Are you that kind of person?
No. I'm not telling you. I'm not telling.
Okay. Liz, what's on your to-do list?
Well, you know, it's a small surgical procedure with Doogie Howser that I'll be having on Friday. I developed a lump on the back of my neck like 2 months ago, and I was ignoring it because that's what I do. It's because it's on the back of my neck. I can't see it. So I figure.
And don't touch it, Liz, because that's near your face. Okay.
Oh,
but carry
true.
On.
Yeah. But I figure if you can't see it, it can't hurt you. Right. And then I started to think about what you went through last fall.
Right.
And your colonoscopy screening where they found something that was, in fact, dangerous cancer and they took it out. So I thought maybe I should have someone look at this lump on the back of my neck. That is actually quite painful. So I went in. Yeah. So I went in last week and it was like a resident and it took him 10 seconds to say that's a cyst. And so I was a little annoyed to admit it. Like, the copay was $80 because they're a specialist, $20 to park the car. Doogie spends 10 seconds looking at my neck, tells me I have a cyst, and that I have to come back this week so that they can remove it, put in a few stitches, whatever. So I'm following through, but it's a form of like self-care that I would not have otherwise bothered with if it weren't for what I learned from you, Leon, about, you know, you have to pay attention to these things, these screenings and normal stuff. And, you know, having a doctor look at it was a good idea.
It was a good idea,
yeah.
Liz.
So
and
even though it's harmless, it's still, you know, I'm going to get rid of it.
You're on it now and you're in touch, in tune with it. So I'm proud of you. That's good. That's
so
good.
Friday, I'm getting that taken care of.
Okay. Well,
and how about you?
Well, it's showtime. I mean, we have the big dance show this week.
That's right.
Oh, good. Oh, Leon.
Oh, yeah. Did you bring me a ticket? You said you were
going to. Shoot. Okay. I'll leave it at the desk.
Yeah, I'll buy one. I don't care, but
it's talk just to like Leon's assistant, Liz.
So it's showtime. I'm going to be ready for our big dance performance on Saturday. So looking forward to it. I think I'll be ready. I had some good rehearsal last week. I have some more rehearsal set up. So
now,
I think
as
I'll
a refresher, you have a big Janet Jackson number, correct?
Yes, I'm doing the cha-cha to Rhythm Nation, but it has a lot of Janet choreography, which is really challenging.
I cannot wait.
And if you're wondering, like, what is she talking about? Just go look at that music video, which is a classic.
Yes.
I mean, the choreography. I'm doing a tiny portion of that.
Yeah.
But at full speed, you know, it's not half speed. That's all I have to say.
That is good, Liam. Should always live your life at full speed.
My biggest problem seems to be breathing during the routine. Like last week, I was like, I got to the near end and I was like, gasping for air. He's like, you have to breathe. I go, I can't breathe.
I know, so that's why it always amazes me that they can dance that choreography and sing at the same time. Imagine if you had to sing.
No. Next year, maybe, Liz. Yeah. You're an inspiration.
It all comes back to singing. You can do it.
Maybe I'll do it. All right, so that is our show for the week. Thanks to everybody who listens to
Satellite. It was a Super Tuesday.
All right, have a great week, sisters.
You too, Leah.
And don't forget, call your Satellite sister.